All right, Tyler McComas, K-Riff. Man, what's up, man? It's been too long.
Well, yeah, it's been too long because I go to Columbia, Missouri. Shane's there, and he doesn't even seek me out or anything. You know, I that game almost broke me, by the way. And then I look up in, like, the third quarter. Shane's face is plastered on the giant video board there. Missouri welcomes cousin Shane. He didn't get to bang the drum before the game or anything. But
no, I didn't get that. I was trying to get the I didn't know about the helmet golf cart. And I was like, cool. How do I get involved with that?
You pop some wheelies on that thing or something.
That looked pretty fun. But, yeah, definitely not a – not a good game for Oklahoma. Actually, it was a terrible game for Mizzou and Oklahoma, I felt like, for the first three quarters. That last one, though, man, is it a game that you think if you were to give if Venables true serum, he'd like, I'd love to have that one back. Is that a game that you think would probably be the top of his list?
Well, let me lay it out this way. In case you guys don't know, last year was pretty miserable. 6-7 season. You lost to Navy in a bowl game. Something happened against South Carolina that I've never seen before where there was 5 minutes, there's 10 minutes left in the first quarter and the game was over. It was already 21-0. There was some really, got beat 34-3 against Texas. That Missouri game, though, was by far and away just, God, and I hate to give them credit for that. I hate to give them that satisfaction because I know they love that. That was the backbreaker the entire season, though. That's the one that hurt. And the way that you lost it up 7 with like 2.5 minutes left, went into regulation.
Yeah.
Needless to say, there's a lot of big games this year, but you want to get those guys back in Norman this time around.
So are we finally ready to say that is a little bit of a rivalry game?
Not using that word, Mike. Come on. Not using that word.
Because I use that. I asked your wife about it, and, man, I've never seen the look of disgust on any team mentioning that around any SEC fan, that Oklahoma fans, that would even conceive that Missouri is a rival.
Hey, there is some extreme dislike for Eli Drinkwitz around our parts, which, you know, he didn't congratulate his team or anything. The first thing he said was some smack talk to Bob Stoops, to which on our station he said, cool, keep following me on social media the Monday after. But I'm not using that word rivalry, man. I'm not going to do it. But is there like some genuine dislike for that program? Yeah, there definitely is, for sure.
What's it going to take to keep Brent Venables or at least the fans satisfied with him? Because, again, I know fans, you know, they're bought back in off season. Everybody's undefeated. But someone was just asking me, you know, like 7-5, is that going to even be good enough? I mean, because I don't think it should be for Oklahoma.
7-5 won't be good enough. I think you legitimately need to go into the month of November as a college football playoff contender. Do you have to make the college football playoff for Brent to be back? I don't know about that necessarily. But to your point, I don't think 7 wins is good enough. And here's why. Let's think about what they did this entire offseason. They went out and got John Mateer, right? Maybe the best portal quarterback that was out there. They went out and got Jaden Ott, who the day that OU got him, there's articles written that he's going to be the best running back in the SEC this year. You went out and got the young, up-and-coming offensive coordinator. You went out and got Jim Nagy, the new OU GM. You got other guys on offense, other guys on defense. The point is that OU invested so much money into this offseason to right all the wrongs from a year ago, right? 6-7 suck last year, year one in the SEC. We're going to give you everything that you need to get this right. So with as much as you put in, you spent more than a 7-5 season, right? So you got to be a college football playoff contender. I think when you go to Knoxville on November 1st, that November run is brutal. But, yeah, man, I don't think 7-5 is necessarily good enough.
I want to ask you, a week ago, Joe retired. And when that was posted, I always like to read the comments, you know, just see what's – and I saw a torn fan base. I saw half were happy and half were sad. So I guess what's your reaction with – I mean, it's kind of weird timing, but behind the scenes, what was your reaction when you heard Joe retired?
Yeah, not shocked necessarily. I mean, he's been at the job for a long time now and done a great things. It's just – weird because that's kind of what I've known my entire life, seeing Joe Castiglione as the AD. Look, I think he did a great job. Here's where the negative reactions, I believe, come from. The football team hasn't been very good the past few years. So everyone stinks when that's the case, right? But the fact of the matter is that Joe Castiglione has been easily one of the best athletic directors in sports for the past 30 years. The national championships that have won across campus, the conference championships, all that. But The best thing I can say about Josie, and maybe the most impactful thing he did, is he set OU up long-term for the future. Because you know what OU isn't right now? They're not Clemson and Florida State kicking and screaming and trying to get their way out of the ACC because they realize the financial disadvantage they're at. Josie got OU to the SEC, and that's going to set up OU long-term for a very, very long time. So I just think that alone, you got to be extremely grateful for what he did because it's a move that you had to make, man. You had to make it for several reasons.
Do you think any of that, because you know, there's always rumors and speculation, but any of that had to do with the fact that he doesn't want to be the guy that has to replace Brent Venables or even let go of Brent Venables?
I don't think it's necessarily there's just – I don't know how much he was in – I think the AD role at Oklahoma has probably changed over the past few years. Like, you've got former guy at AT&T, Randall Stephenson, now leading kind of the AD search, right? And I think that that shows you got a GM with the football program now. So I think the AD role has changed. I think he's been at it for a long time. In terms of not wanting to fire Brent Venables, maybe that's a part of it. But I don't think that I would say, uh-oh, the head coach at Oklahoma is on the hot seat for the first time since 1998, and he doesn't want to be the guy that fires him. I wouldn't – maybe it's a small piece of it, but I don't think the majority of it.
What's a bigger game for you, Michigan or Auburn? Return to Jackson Arnold. I mean,
so
that's going to be up here.
Here's how I've ranked him this offseason. Texas is the biggest game. Most important game to the fans, alumni. You haven't scored a touchdown two of the past 3 years against them. It's your biggest rival. It's the biggest game. I think Michigan is number two because it's your first big game, right? After a 6-7 season, everything, you've got to get some positive momentum, man. You got to get out of the gate strong. And I think Michigan is a must win if you're going to make the college football playoff this year because of the rest of the schedule that you have. If you're already 1-1 and you're not to SEC play yet, dude, like, you're going to have to win in some places where maybe you're not predicted to win. So I think because of where Michigan is at, it's the second biggest game. But Auburn, Jackson Arnold, your first SEC game. Another game where I would say it's a must win because it's at home. And if you got to be a 9 or a 10 win team, you can't drop it at Auburn. But I think that those 2 and 3 are close. But I would say they're both top three in terms of most important games on the schedule. After what happened last year, guys, you can't lose. You cannot let Jackson Arnold roll into Norman and throw it around on your defense. You can't. But the atmosphere for that day is going to be – I don't even know what to expect. I think – OU will probably be favored in that game, but there will be some nerves going into it for sure. Also some confidence because you saw what he did last year, but hey, he could be a different quarterback this time around, right? With the new scenery and a good wide receivers and Hugh Freeze, if he makes it to the game on time. I don't know if he's got 18, if he's playing 18 before the game or not. Thoughts and prayers to Card 18 today. Maybe he'll tweet that out or something like that. So, no, both are big games.
Let me ask you, I mentioned playoffs, you know, and I like that. I do think that this is a much improved football team, and you know, we talked about scheduling here. But if let me just say this: if you beat Michigan and Auburn, I told you that happened today. Probability Oklahoma is one of those teams that makes the college football playoff. Where would you put them?
So I expect that to happen. By the way, like, and I've said that needs to happen. You need to go to Dallas undefeated. You need to win those two home games. Probability, man, I'd say 55%, and maybe that's high for some people. Here's why I say that. I think a 9-3 Oklahoma would get in. I think if we could redo the playoff seeding from last year, that SMU ain't getting in, and Alabama or South Carolina or Ole Miss is getting in. Because when you guys talk about Oklahoma this offseason, you say, hey, they've made some nice additions on the offense. They look good, but dang, man, that schedule's just brutal. Okay. Well, with that schedule, I think that people realize that. I think a 9-win Oklahoma team with that schedule, seeing what we saw last year with an SMU or even an Indiana, I think that they're going to get in. That's probably why I put it so high. That's not a guarantee anything could happen, but I'd say 55% because I believe a 9-win Oklahoma team is probably going on the road somewhere in the first round, but I think maybe they get like that last at-large spot.
Have we reached a point, perhaps, where there's too much hype with John Mateer?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that because initially it was, well, hey, this guy's got a little Baker Mayfield in him right here. I mean, hey, we're not saying he's going to win the Heisman Trophy or anything like that, but the attitude, the swagger. They need a leader on offense, and he's just kind of walked through the door day one and did that. And we have Bob Stoops on our show every single week, and he said that back in the spring. He was like, I kind of looks like little Baker out there. And that kind of started going around in spring ball, and you notice like some with the football program really are trying to be like, all right, let's slow down the whole Baker comparison stuff. So to your point, yeah, it's like, hey, this guy's really good. Like, we like him a lot, but God, with the Baker Mayfield comparisons, let's maybe slow it down a little bit, not set unrealistic expectations here.
Right. Because, I mean, I think it'll be really, really good. But, I mean, like, imagine if he throws like 25 picks or picks, touchdowns.
I was about to say 25 picks would be brutal.
Five touchdowns. I mean, some people may be like, is that enough? I don't know. I just hope we haven't set the expectations too high for him.
Well, I mean, what is he, probably top five, top eight on a Heisman list? I saw your quarterback rankings. There's a lot of people that think he could be a top three quarterback in the SEC or push for that number one spot. I think the talent is there. I think it's fair to say that he's also going to have better playmakers around him, especially with the Jaden Knott and some of the receivers he had compared to Washington State. But is he going to be able to adjust to SEC competition and the schedule? I think that that's a fair question. Now, he wouldn't be the only quarterback from another conference that's not the SEC to come in and be good right away. Diego Pavia is pretty good at Vanderbilt last year, right? Jaden Daniels, I mean, that was out of the Pac-12, but the Pac-12 wasn't what the SEC was, and he ended up winning a Heisman Trophy from Arizona State. So I think it's possible. The game is there for sure, but it's a step up in competition for sure. And, dude, I sat here with you guys last year, and we talked about offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. Guess what dictates everything again this year for Oklahoma? Offensive line. That offensive line is just solid. I think that offense will be really good, and they'll be fine.
That's it. So that's the, what do they call it, linchpin, is that offensive line.
He's learning some new words.
Yeah. I Googled it before I said it. You know? What about defense, though? You know, you had a lot of turnover on defense, and that's one of the units that – we always have confidence in with Venables, but do you think there's a setback, or do you think we just kind of hit the ground running like we had last season?
There are a lot of people here that think that Oklahoma's got the best defensive line in the SEC. Kublik said that. McElroy said that. Pollock has said that. They think OU's got the best defensive line in the SEC, which is crazy, guys, because maybe you watched Oklahoma 5 years ago. All offense and no defense. I mean, they completely transformed the defense. So to answer your question, I mean, I think that they could be as good, if not better, because that D-line is so nasty. Stutzman's gone. Billy Bowman's gone. They got to replace those dudes. But at backer, I think that they're going to be really good. Secondary, they're going to be really good. I thought the OU defense was good last year, but they were just constantly put in terrible situations because the offense was so bad. Mike, you were at the OU-Tennessee game last year. OU gets a turnover inside the 10-yard line, and they give it right back. Then they get a turnover against Nico, and then they like throw a pick on the very next play. Like, the defense was never able to be in a spot to be its best version of itself, except for one game. One game last year, the offense put the defense in a favorable spot. That was against Alabama, and OU won 24-3 and made life hell for Jalen Milroe, and he even threw a pick six in that game. So that's kind of it. Like, is the defense better or worse than last year? I mean, we'll see. I think it's going to be close. But what if they have an offense that can actually put them in good situations this year? What might that defense look like? Because it looked pretty damn good against Alabama last year when it actually had a chance. So I think it'll be good. And if they really have the best defensive line in the SEC, I think they'll be tough, man. I think they'll be tough on that side.
We don't use Nico on this show, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we don't know who that is.
Yeah.
That was that's a word on Twitter that you can't say anymore.
Muted, blocked. Yeah. What? Speaking of that defense, though, I know it happened like so long ago, and we move on so quickly. But what did you make of Zach Alley? Because heck, we can't even call West Virginia a lateral position. I mean, that's a step down. What does that tell you about Brent Venables? And because Brent Venables much better defense coordinator than Zach Alley. I mean, a fool would know that. Even a Texas fan would admit that. But I don't know. It tells me it's a little bit hard to work for Brent Venables, and where's he at as a head coach as opposed to a defensive coordinator? That concerns me a little bit.
Yeah, that was, and the timing was terrible because, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered if you won the bowl game. Everyone was already pissed. But then you lose to Navy, and then he, like, leaves the very next day. Yes, the optics of that is not great at all. I'm sure that there's some internal things there that what's weird about it is Allie was like a mini Brent Venables. He walked like him. He talked like him. I mean, there was really a lot of – it's like the younger Brent Venables. So to see him go to West Virginia, of all places, with Rich Rod was kind of weird. But maybe a part of it was this is, okay, Zach Allie was the defensive coordinator. Who do you think is ultimately going to get all the credit if the OU defense plays well? Not really the defensive coordinator. That's still Brent Venables' defense, right? And – you know, was Zach Allie calling the plays or in critical moments? Was Brent? I don't know, but maybe Zach Allie saw it as, okay, well, Oklahoma's going to have a better defense than West Virginia, but Brent Venables is always going to get the credit. This is a good defense, and maybe my best path to being a head coach is to go somewhere else and do it. It's my defense, and that's my best path. But, yeah, that was – not only was it shocking, it was pretty awful timing as well right after that bowl loss.
Last one I've got, man. You got to go to a lot of these games last year, a lot of new events, new venues. Which one was your favorite last year, and which one are you looking forward to the most this season?
Can I do my least favorite from last year as
absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
Favorite, Mike and I were actually texting after the Auburn trip. Auburn was cool. I don't think I got to see Auburn at its best, because they had already lost like two or three games going into that one. But the people were cool there. The people were nice. LSU was fantastic, man. We hung out in the RV lot before. It was a night game. It was the 2 days after Thanksgiving, so they put the leftover turkey in their gumbo. And because we like brought the OU RV, they were like, come eat, come eat, come eat, come eat. I ate so much that day. It was really cool. Didn't see that place at its best either because Oklahoma wasn't any good when they rolled in there, and LSU was already out of playoff contention. The most overrated place last year, dude, Ole Miss. Hey, it was an 11 a.m. kick. I get it. Seeing the Grove was cool. They play it like a high school stadium. Vaught Hemingway Stadium is like a high school stadium. The students were like the spawn of Satan out there. They're like the way we talked about Texas Tech and the Big 12 and their students, those are like Ole Miss kids out there. Like, we walked up to the Grove, there's this kid carrying this giant vase, and he just starts talking smack to us already. Like, welcome to Oxford, right? Not one person in there offered us like, hey, come in our tent, hang out, do all this or whatever. I thought Ole Miss was highly overrated a year ago. In terms of this year, I've always wanted to go to Knoxville. Always wanted to go to Knoxville. And I missed out on that 2015 game, which there's no way that this game can be like that game. Columbia's going to be cool, but that's at 11 a.m. Alabama's going to be afternoon, night game. I've just always wanted to go to Neyland, man, always, since I was a kid. So getting to see that in November and being a part of that, I'm jacked up to see Tennessee. And then, of course, you got Temple.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, the Temple road trip. Shane might go to get some cheesesteaks with us. I don't know.
I'm easily convinced.
Oklahoma is going to Temple to play a football game this year. That's a thing that's happening.
It's like UMass and Mizzou last year. It's like, how did that one?
All right, Tyler, last thing for you. So our Media Days coverage is brought to you by MyBookie. We're asking the boldest take that you got. If you got a bold, it doesn't have to be Oklahoma. It could be just SEC. But if you got a bold take for us, presented by MyBookie, we would really appreciate it.
I got a bold take for you. I think it's even bolder than some saying that OU's got the best defensive line in the SEC. John Mateer, Jaden Ott, that's the best quarterback running back duo in the SEC this year. That's bold because there's a lot of other good duos. That's bold because OU just had the worst offense of my lifetime last year. And the turnaround that would show would be pretty incredible from last year. So I'll give you want it bold. That's bold. Quarterback, running back duo, best that the SEC has to offer.
Book
those
it.
Two guys.
Book it.
What odds do I get on that? Is that like plus 900 or plus 2,000 or what?
No, we just clip it and remind you later if it doesn't work.
I know how it works. Trust me.
All right, before you go, tell our audience how to follow you, how to find your show.
Yeah, so we talk college football, SEC football heavy in Norman, Oklahoma. KREF, just search it in the App Store. People across the SEC, best way to get it. We just hired Dari Noka to do our mid-morning show. So if you get, again, search KREF. Dari does a show with us. I do a show with Teddy Lehman in the afternoon. And I don't know if there's any softball fans out there or not. My name, Tyler McComas. I do a bunch of OU and SEC softball content. I know you're a big Tennessee Vols softball guy.
Oh, yeah. Ask Dari to unblock Shane on Twitter.
Yeah, come on, man.
He blocked you?
No.
Oh, I thought that was just Cracker Barrel. Okay.
Thank you, bro. Yeah.